Welcome to Planner Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica McWilliams. Behind every planner, there's a person. And behind every person, there's a story. In today's episode, I bring to you Kaylee. You can find her at Kaylee A. Hobbs, and that's Kaylee with two E's and Hobbs with two B's. Kaylee's the Chief Operating Officer at Cultivate What Matters. Kaylee shares with us her own planner story. Of course, a lot of Cultivate What Matters is thrown in there too, so we're going to be talking about goals, but we also touch base on personal matters such as dating during the quarantine lockdown and how to step out in faith and start your own business. She finds purpose in every season, and this season she is hoping to grow a blue pumpkin. You'll also find her back on Planner Lifestyle Podcast in October, as she will be one of the featured guests in the Enneagram and Planner Mashup series that's coming. She'll be featured in the Enneagram's 7 episode. Here's Kaylee. Welcome to Planner Lifestyle Podcast, Kaylee. It's a pleasure to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jessica. I'm so grateful to be here.
Well, how fun. Just a little background on today's episode. You'll actually be hearing Kaylee again for our Enneagram series. She is a 7, spoiler alert, which will be airing in October. Such circumstances happened where I just get Kaylee to myself today. She will be reappearing with a partner in the series, but we get a bonus episode today with the COO of Cultivate What Matters, and it's Kaylee Hobbs, guys. How fun. So, Kaylee, welcome. You're not just the CEO. You're not just the COO. You're more than just your title, and that is my pleasure to dig into some of your personal stuff and how you kind of relate to the planner community today. So, why don't you just introduce yourself to my audience if they're meeting you for the first time and kind of tell us what you're about.
Yes, Jessica. And I love that we're doing this because, like you said earlier, it was in true Enneagram 7 fashion that we were like on the whim, like, okay, we're just going to like go into this and, you know, get to do a bonus episode. So I just, again, so thank you so much for being willing to do this. I am, like you said, the Chief Operating Officer for Cultivate What Matters. We help women set goals through the PowerSheets Goal Planner. But even more than that, we help women dream really big for their lives and be able to take each day and break that down into little by little steps. But outside of work, I have a million hobbies, which I'm sure you will hear about more in the Enneagram 7 episode, which is textbook Enneagram 7. I am a ceramics artist and I, lead Bible studies through my church. And those are just a few things that I love to do. I have a garden, I'm growing kale and, a pumpkin this fall, which is really fun.
Oh.
And it's supposed to be a blue pumpkin, which, you know, time will tell if that actually grows. But y'all will have to follow along on my Instagram. We'll see.
Yes. And tell us your Instagram handle. If my audience isn't already following, where can they find you?
Yeah. It is _ Kaylee Hobbs. So super easy to find.
And Hobbs is with two B's and Kaylee is with two E's. So there you go. Got the double.
Oh, you know, it's taken me today years old. It was that's when I realized that I could say it that way. Because I normally I'm like H-O-B as in boy, B as in boy, S.
Well, oh, there you go. I'd like to give back when I can.
I'm grateful for that.
I want to hear I want to hear more about those hobbies for sure. But let's orient first on how you came to, I guess, the planner community. Or would you consider yourself planner adjacent? Or do you even use a planner? Like, kind of how what is your relationship like with the, I don't know, calendar, if you will?
great question. So I'll address your first question of what is my relationship, I guess, with the planner community. And I use PowerSheets. They are a goal planner. They have a monthly calendar view and attending list, which helps me to keep track of my yearly goals. And then I also have a prayer journal from Valmarie Paper that I love to use, but most of my to-do list and like daily functions are happening on a notepad, mm-hmm. Which is not super organized, but that's just the way I roll. Everything is digital beyond that. But I really use my Power Sheets to check in a couple times a week to make sure I'm making progress on the things that really matter to me. But I really found out about planner community through my job with Cultivate, and I went to University of Kentucky for school, and I graduated in 2017. And at the time, I was working at a bridal shop in Lexington, Kentucky called Twirl. And I really had just started working there for fun. I was like, I'm total Enneagram 7 fashion. I was like, this is going to be so fun to spend my Saturdays helping women find their wedding dress. And the owners of that boutique were friends with Laura, who is the CEO of Cultivate What Matters, and at the time, Southern Weddings. Mm-hmm. So if you are not familiar, we also have a business called Southern Weddings that we have since stopped producing the magazine to be able to focus on Cultivate. But at the time, I made that connection through that wedding dress shop. So I feel like I wound up here by happenstance, which is just so fun. And I love that my story is not at all what I thought it would be 3 years ago. So yeah.
What did you go to school for?
I started off in nursing school, and then I very quickly realized that I had just a knack for business and found my way. I graduated with 2 degrees, one in marketing and one in integrated strategic communications, which is essentially advertising and public relations.
Oh yeah, that sounds a very fancy way of saying like...
It is very fancy. Biz.
Integrated. So then you went, so did you actually just start with Southern Weddings? And then when that kind of, when, what was the overlap into Cultivate What Matters?
Yeah. So we had just started working on volume 10. There are 10 volumes of Southern Weddings. That was a yearly publication. And so I joined about 6 months in before we launched volume 10. So my role on the team was customer delight and shop manager, and I split my time on both businesses. And since then, I have had a couple different roles. I've been really grateful to have my hand in a lot of parts of the business, but after doing shop management, so we run on Shopify. So I learned all the back end with that and had the opportunity to help all of our customers with orders and the operations side of things. And then I moved into product development with our manufacturer, which was so fun. And Jessica, I had no idea what I was doing. This was very much a like trial by fire, learn specifications, paperweight, like all of these things that I did not know went into making products.
Paper matters. It really does.
It does. And from there, I have moved into this seat that I'm in currently, where I really get to work with our marketing director and our operations director to execute the vision that we have for the business. So yeah, that was a long backstory for how I got into the planner community.
What did you do in college as far as like, were you doing to-do lists then? Did you kind of try to maintain it in your head? You know, I mean, obviously with 2 degrees and a weekend job,
yeah,
there had to have been some juggling going on of some kind.
There was a lot of juggling. I kind of ran myself dry in college. I had one job with Twirl, and then I was also working for my church and leading the marketing efforts of one of the largest student-run philanthropies in all of the SEC. So that was, you know, outside of class. And then I had a full 18 credit hours every semester for 2 degrees. And so I definitely had to keep track of everything in an agenda. I just had a weekly planner. I mostly used the Rifle Paper Co. ones, mm-hmm. Which I realize now, like, it was just a standard planner. There wasn't really any, like, I don't know, additional fun things in there. But I definitely, I just had all of my assignments in there. And was very much like, I love to make to-do lists on my computer and print them out. And like, that's like after I've already done half the things, and I like to be able to highlight the things that I've already done because it makes me feel extra accomplished. But I had to, and right now it's so funny. I'm juggling a lot in my job right now, being able to have my hands in so many parts of the business. So I feel like that is one of my gifts, is that I'm able to juggle a lot in my head. But I certainly need to be able to write it down.
Well, now that you've transitioned into this company where goal setting and really cultivating and digging deep and tending to these things that are important to you, how has that changed maybe your basic to-do list? Have goals? I don't know. I'm just going to say, have goals been important to you now? But like, I'm thinking back to what you just said. You must have had some kind of goals originally to be that, aggressive, maybe is the wrong word, that driven in college. So I don't know. Just why don't you describe what goals mean to you? How do you forecast your vision and things like that?
Yeah. So in the Power Sheets process, we first look at where you are now, like what is working, what is not working. And then we take a moment to look at where do you want to be when you're 80 years old? And that's not necessarily like, oh, I want to be on the beach. It is more of like, who do you want to be when you're 80? So for me, what that looks like is I imagine myself having my grandchildren be super close to me relationally. Like I know what's going on in their lives and they come to me and ask for advice and seek wisdom. And so looking ahead to that, I am not married. I don't have any children yet. And so how do you like then set goals to get there? Because if I want to cultivate what matters at 26, when I have none of those pieces, it's like, what does that look like to actually get there? Okay. It means that I have to fill my days with what is like going to help me get there. And that's kind of hard for a lot of people to understand when I'm like, I don't have children. So how do you like cultivate or like look ahead for when you're going to have grandchildren, if you're like, I don't even know if I'm going to have kids. And something that is super important to me is that I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and it's really important to me that I will know God's word deeply and be able to point my grandchildren back to that. So right now I can be taking steps toward that by studying the word right now. And so what that looks like as far as goals go, back in college, I feel like I was much more concerned about like, I'm going to have a good career. I'm going to have like make this amount of money and do X, Y, and Z. And I think a lot of people do think about goals in that way of like striving and achieving. But for me, it's my goals are mostly focused on what I've like found out is most important to me. And that is my faith, stewarding my finances well, and loving the people around me really well. So a lot of the times planning for those things looks like, okay, I've got to fit those things into my day first before I can even add in all of the little things. So if you think about it like a jar of like you've got rocks and sand, you've got to put the rocks in first before you can put in the sand all around it. So I like if you're getting the analogy, it's like you can fill your days with like all of these things that you want to do. But if you're not starting with what's most important first,
it won't fit.
Then you have no room for that stuff. And right. Yeah. And that's like what happens to a lot of people in their lives is like they end up putting off all of these things that are actually really important to them because the stress of daily life gets in the way and they're not intentionally focusing on those things. That's kind of the way I look at goals in my life.
I get a warm feeling from that. Like you've kind of cocooned your goals into a personal development almost or relational, you know, type things versus solely your status or your achievements or, you know, whatever, however you want to say that. But you do have some professional goals as well. So do you kind of have two? Do you use Cultivate Matters twice? Like do you have one like tending thing that's more like heart oriented and one that's like more boss oriented? You know what I mean? Like how do you do that?
I love that question. And you're totally spot on, Jessica. I feel like I am just naturally very driven in business. But I do feel like my spiritual and relational like heart or goals and focuses there do drive my business goals. Kind of this season that I'm in is I'm helping run the Cultivate Matters business. And I also am starting my own business to do ceramics and candles. And that is like totally crazy and like sounds crazy still for me to say that, because I feel like it is a total leap of faith that I feel led to do just in my relationship with the Lord. And what that looks like, I feel like has just led me into this, into taking a leap of faith there. So that's why I say, you know, some of these other things do drive this. But I do feel like some of the like more businessy entrepreneurial mindset, like that is very natural to me. So I feel I'm just so excited to use my gifts in that way as well. But I feel like time will tell. I need to figure out a good process of how to set goals for my personal business, because I've always worked on a team where you've had like so many other people like doing moving parts. So I don't know. I'm excited. And I imagine so many of your community will have ideas.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, reach out to Kaylee Hobbs, two B's, two E's on Instagram. I want to hear more about the ceramics, because my background is for my college education was in teaching, but I started doing an oh my gosh, this is like 20 years ago. What did I do? Bachelor of Fine Arts. And then about halfway through, I was like, I had that same kind of moment of like, oh, crud, I want a job. So not taking that leap of faith into the arts, I was like, what else could I do with this? And I love kids. I always have. And so I was like, I can teach them. I can teach them art. So then I switched to Bachelor of Science in Teaching Visual Arts K-12 licensure with an emphasis in photography. So also a mouthful. And there is that kind of unknown of putting yourself out there creatively. Like, is this actually going to be a bread and butter opportunity for me? Am I going to be the quote unquote starving artist? Like, how do you, you know, so to see you take your skills and talents and artistic ability and marry that with your business savvy is just so fun and exciting to see. I wish you the best of luck. Also, I'm just in awe of anyone who can do ceramics. I did have to go through the ceramics angle because that's part of education, right? You teach little clay pinch pots in kindergarten all the way up to wheel in hand in high school. So I had to learn the gamut. And I try as I may. I don't know if I'm just not a centered individual, but I could never, like, I never really mastered the centering of that clay on the wheel. Like, it just, I was like, come on. It's like, the more I wanted it, the more it was like, nope, not for you.
So I just have to say, that sound was spot on with what it sounds like.
You could feel that in your body, right?
Like, I've been there.
Yeah.
You know, Jessica, what's so funny is this whole thing is like totally from God for me, because I started making candles 2 years ago, and like, you know, there's been like little signs of like, oh, I made like 180 for a friend's wedding, and they were just in glass vessels, but I was like, this would be really cool. And like, I started researching, I was like, well, can I order some from overseas and, you know, get them for pretty cheap per unit and be able to do that? So they're like even more beautiful than just these like plain glass ones. And I was like, well, you know what? I think I want to learn how to make my own. And so like, please do not think that I am like super talented at ceramics, because I just started taking a class in January and like figured out how to do the wheel, and then figured out how to do slip casting, which is essentially like plaster and you pour the clay in. And so each step of this process has been like a revealing to me of like, okay, you can do this. And like, okay, like very open-handed in a sense of like, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I feel like I can't shake this idea of starting this business. And so I have no idea. Like I told you before this, like I have very few of the details figured out, and actually lately I'm like, who can I partner with that's going to make these, and how can I bless someone else through this? And I started looking at ceramic artists that live in Rwanda, and like, this is just like kind of going down a rabbit trail of like, what could this be? So I have no idea if I'm going to actually be the artist like producing these vessels for the candles, but that has been like the greatest joy of this year amidst a very weird 2020, is uncovering what this could look like in the year ahead. But yeah, that's like more of the ceramics part of my story, which is just funny because I'm like, I never ever would have classified myself as an artist or someone who would ever have that be part of their like business career.
Right. Well, what made you take, did you take like a community ed class? Was this like part of a bridal party? Like, let's go make a plate. Like, how do you like, how does one go from like, I tried it once in January to like, I'm sourcing a slip casting from Rwanda. Like, what happened? Like, how did you start that?
Well, Jessica, I am very scrappy. I feel like that is a good word to describe me, as I love to learn, and I like can take and make something from like having very few of the pieces. So I'm that way at work and I'm that way at home. Currently I'm renovating my kitchen myself and I've never done that before. And I watch a ton of YouTube videos and I just figure things out. And I love doing that. I love to learn and I find so much joy in that. And so back in December, I started Googling. That's really where it started. I was like, how do people do this? Actually, it started off, I was trying to partner with someone locally and I was like, you know what, I can't find anybody and that's going to be super expensive and it takes a lot of time. So I started Googling. I was like, how do I do this? And I ended up finding a, you know, video series on Skillshare. I love Skillshare. And I watched a video series of someone making a mug on the wheel. I was like, this is fascinating that they can make this thing from literally mud. And I started just like Googling some more down a rabbit hole and found a community, shared, studio space where they did classes and you could, once you sign up for a class, you have access to all of the glazing materials and you just put it up on the wall and they fire it for you in the kiln. And I thought that was fascinating. I was like, that is the best way to start small, is I can just go to open studio hours here. Like, we did one day a week was class for 3 hours and, you know, you're off your phone for 3 hours and getting to know people in your class. And I just thought that was the most life-giving thing. I remember, like, I feel like my friends were like, you need to stop talking about ceramics, because that was all that I talked about, was that I fell in love with the process and like actually, you know, going somewhere and doing something with people I didn't know, you know, before. And it just like lit a creativity in my spirit that I didn't know was there.
That sounds like a very nice, gentle way of introducing it. So I'm assuming that they had clay prepared for you. Like, you weren't making clay. Like, could you just buy a hunk or?
You know, yes, we bought the clay. I have not made my own clay before.
Yeah,
that's that a might whole be nother... something else that I need to figure out how to do.
Well, yeah, if you do get into like, you have a studio and you're the one doing this, or I guess outfitting someone with the materials, that, you know, to scale it to be more affordable is obviously, instead of buying clay from someone who's already made it, they're pricing up their time and materials making the clay to you making it yourself.
Yes.
Which seems weird because you're like, it's clay. Isn't that just straight from the earth? And probably some is, but there's a lot of different silicate, I think is the right words, and like different dust to grit ratios. And there's these tumbler things that kind of look like mini cement things, and they like tumble all in there, and then you make it. So then you can get a variety of sources, you know, like if you wanted to be more like tan with speckles in it, or if you want to have, you know, so sky's the limit there. But
well,
it's very scientific.
If there's any reason why we should be talking right now, it's so that I can learn this, because I did not know that.
No, we've declared it's because now you can say two B's, two E's, or two E's, two B's in your name. That's it. Mic drop. You're done.
Wow. I'm actually going to use that.
I want to talk a little bit about what goes inside the pot, too. So candles, are these like soy? Are they triple wick? Do they have a fragrance? Like, what's your jam? Like, what is your, what do you hope for?
Okay, so I live in North Carolina. I live in Durham. And when I started making candles, I was like Googling online. I was like, how do I get scents and essential oils? And how do you figure this out? And I actually found a warehouse that distributes like scents that they've already calculated and come up with. And they were actually located in Durham. So I drive to their warehouse. It was really cool. I was like, this is so neat that it's right next to me. So I drive through the warehouse and pick things up. And I found one that I loved, and I really just started making that one scent. They're 100% soy. I don't know if you're familiar, but candles that you often find at like big box stores are made with paraffin. They're not as good for the air, but the smell goes further. So that's why they use paraffin. So I love soy wax because it's better for what you're breathing in. And so yeah, that's just generally the makeup. But I was like, I really want to make my own, you know, like same thing with the vessels. I was like, I want to be able to say this was like completely made by me down to the scent too. So I'm working with a chemist who I guess is a food scientist, maybe in his background, to develop my own, which is really fascinating and cool. And I just can't wait to see what we come up with, because like I said, I've got only a few pieces of the puzzle figured out right now, but that's in the works as well.
So how do you just find a food scientist chemist? Just Google? Like, do you just
Google? Yeah, I have to tell you, I like sent a lot of feeler emails because I don't know what I'm doing. I will like be the first to say, like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I took AP chemistry in high school, and that was the extent of that. But I started emailing people online, and I actually emailed one company that turns out they make candles for like big designer companies like Prada, and like they were in France. So I was like, maybe 10 years down the road, not for me right now. So I landed on this US based, I think they're in Pennsylvania, aromatics company. And what's really cool is they make scents for hotels and like big stores where they put it into the air conditioning, like vents. So it makes this experience. Cool. It's so great. It's so cool. And it's just fascinating. And like, I think what gives me so much joy in all of this is like, I didn't know how to do any of this before like January of this year. So it's been just so much fun figuring things out. And like I said, I love learning. And part of like, to bring like all of this back to planning is like, I can only plan so much, right? Like, I feel like I'm like planning day by day of like, how am I going to take the next best step towards figuring all of this out? And where do I want to be like 1 month from now? Okay, I don't know how to do any of that, but I'm going to figure out like, what are the little by little steps that will help me to get there, which is what we do with Power Sheets and our Cultivate What Matters process, which is kind of, I'm just like, I'm so grateful that I know how to do that, because that's certainly helping me in this business.
Oh, well, I look forward to seeing these. They sound so interesting. You do have something in the works as far as, I mean, this is just a teaser. Okay, everyone listening, this isn't like Kaylee's big launch day, but this is a teaser of what's coming from her. So if we want to kind of like,
yeah, if you
stay tuned, if you will, like, is there like, do you have like a landing page, or like, how do we follow along?
Yeah. So you can go to KayleeAHobbs.com, and like Jessica said, you're getting an inside or like very early picture at this. And it feels like so vulnerable to share that. Cause you know, everyone wants to be tied up in a bow and like, this is what I'm offering. But welcome to the reality of in progress of someone's goals. But you can go to KayleeAHobbs.com and you'll be able to enter your email. And as things come along, follow along there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to reflect back on some of your previous experiences, just even learning some of the technical back end stuff of the business, like you mentioned Shopify, right? Mm-hmm. And you said something about the back end, and I was like, ooh, that perked my ears. I'm married to a web developer, so he's a back end. I guess. Developer sounds a little shady. But anyway.
You're right. I say back end a lot because I'm like, that's like a business term. But, like,
but it is. It is. I get it. I got you. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like the nitty gritty of making the things on the website work the way you want them to work versus front end, at least as far as I can understand, being, you know, web development adjacent, being married in to this community is like the pretty stuff, like the things you would see first, you know, when you come, like, oh, what are your graphics? What are your fonts? What are your buttons look like? What are your, you know, what's the user experience as far as looks more? What's the content too, right? Like, what are you writing? What are you saying? What's the copy to try to get people in, or I don't know, something like that.
Well, I just to speak to my story and how I feel like this all plays out is I have been so grateful for, like you said, like this experience and being able to learn, and like it all kind of like feeds into what I'm working on now. And I think for our team, we have 11 women on our team, and we really strive to do business with excellence. And what that means is providing like a wonderful user experience for our customers, as like we're not just like selling a like calendar and giving it to them, right? It's like we're giving them an opportunity to like do the things that they've always wanted to do. So that's a process, right? Of like teaching and learning and encouraging them. And so there is such a human element to our business that it is such a cool opportunity to do business with excellence and like have that be like a trust builder for like the experience that they're going to walk through with PowerSheets. And so all that to say, like, that certainly relates to like everything that they encounter on our website and in the shopping experience. And so I love that I have had that lens paired with the technical experience of like, okay, how do I put this here and like code this there and make that do this?
This is the heart and soul. What you get here on this website is what we want you to think that you would get with us, because you probably would. This is how attentive we are. This is the feeling, like the hotels that pipe the scent through. I mean, your website is like piping your scent through, essentially, to that experience.
That's a great analogy. One of our core values is the power of one. And what that means is that we believe that each person, each site session on our shop is one person, and that is the actual person. So how can we like meet them right where they are and have the ability to change their day and give them a wonderful experience with us? Because I am such a people person, and doing an online business is like maybe not the best like line of business for someone who loves to be around people, but it's kind of a challenge that I love, because you get to, you know, create connections and relationships online and be creative with how you do that. And I love it all. I love getting to talk to people in our inbox and solve problems and, you know, create wonderful experiences, like you said, that speak really loudly about what kind of business you're trying to run online.
That's fabulous. Well, and speaking of relationships, the person that introduced us was Lakin from Plan with Lakin, and she is a former guest on the show as well. How do you make these connections? Have you been to conferences? Are you following people on social media in the planner community, or do you just happen to know her? Like, how do you navigate those?
Well, so part of running a business that has to do with goals is that you get kind of an inside peek into people's personal lives if they email you or interact with you. And so we on our Instagram, like, I love getting to know people. When they share something about their life with us, that is such an incredible opportunity to create a connection with them. And it's like you said, it's not just a transaction, like that is someone's life. And so I do my best to try to remember everyone's names and like flip through their Instagram profile to be like, okay, who is this person? And so Lakin and I kind of got to know each other a little bit through that sense of like sharing about PowerSheets. And I try to keep tabs on like who shares a lot about PowerSheets and get to know them and create connections that way. I'm not It's very little like, I'm going to go out and like look for these people. It's just like, if someone tags us, like I like to know who that is that's shopping with us. So Lakin and I kind of, I feel like we got to know each other that way, but she also was one of our table leaders at Cultivate Your Year Live, which is an in-person kind of like all intensive one day setup of your power sheets, if you will. The first section of the Power Sheets Goal Planner, it's kind of like a personal retreat and reflection of the year, you know, previous, and looking ahead of like, what do you want this next year to look like? And it walks you through like 30 pages of that. So it is, this conference is just a one day, like guided version of that. And so we finally got to meet in person there this past December, and I just adore her. She's wonderful.
Yeah, she brings a lot of content to the planner community, and we're always very grateful to get different reviews and different ways of implementing things from her. So that's fun. What a fun connection. So looking ahead, what this December, maybe looking a little different. Is this an annual thing? I'm assuming this conference, perhaps?
Yeah, it's definitely going to look different. We do have something in the works, but we haven't yet announced it. So hopefully
everybody gets their own table 6 feet apart.
I love it. Everyone gets plenty of room at their own table. So be sure to follow Cultivate What Matters, because we on Instagram, we're going to be announcing that and what that looks like before Power Sheets come out for this year, which is exciting.
Yeah, and they come out in October 2020?
They usually do. Launch date is October 14th at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And we normally, like, launch day is a big deal. So be sure to mark your calendar, because we'll do, like, extra deals and bundles and all that kind of fun stuff.
Ooh, you know what I just thought of? I'm thinking you'll be back that week. That's funny. I'm just going to, let's see, what was that?
Oh, for the Enneagram episode?
5, 6, 7. Yeah, you'll be here in launch week. It'll be the 16th.
Wow, that is
so meant to be. Yeah. Well, things do look different now with this 2020 business. In fact, looking at our plans, that's one of the questions I get most often. I mean, that's the big joke of the year, right? Like, what was the worst purchase of 2019?
Yeah.
A 2020
like,
planner.
That's the meme going around.
It's like, oh, it's like a stab wound to the heart of all these of people in the planner community and or planner makers, goal setter makers. Like, that's not the best PR moment. You know what I mean? Like, the worst purchase. That's awful. But really, there are ways to adapt, different ways of using things. I actually have, I just announced this on Instagram this week. My husband has a positive case. So there's COVID in my house right now.
Yeah.
It is frightening, but I'm not giving over to the fear. We're doing all bunch of best practices, but probably not all of them, because we're staying home. We are self-isolating, but it definitely, I mean, trips have been canceled. Events have, I mean, obviously, like, this is not big news to anyone, like, that trips are canceled. But when it hits home, and then we're now the ones that we're not just staying home because we don't want to get it. We're like, we're staying home to not give it. That is a whole mind-bending weird experience that I have yet to really be able to articulate well, because we're still kind of in the middle of it here. But yeah, it changes things, like your priorities. All of a sudden, instead of thinking, okay, well, when are we going to get up north for a canoe trip? It's like, oh, dear Lord Jesus, let your lungs be strong. You know, like, all of a sudden your shift in mindset and what is important to you and looking at what really matters is very, very, very pulled into sharp contrast.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to ask. I was going to turn the question around on you. I was like, have you had a change in perspective of what's most important this year, even before your husband had that positive case?
Well, yeah. And my daughter has symptoms. We just didn't take her in for the test, because we're like, let's just stay in the bubble. And as long as we have a kind of a line of like, okay, well, if there's this much distress, we're clearly going to go in. But as of right now, likely she has it. And we're just like, if you can just stay in your room, that'd be great, you know, and not have to go into anywhere else. However, that being said, I think what it does is it just reaffirms what my priorities have been. It just brings them to front of mind. Instead of sitting down together as a family of six at the table, which we try to do at least 3 to 4 times a week. That has like been our goal from day one. Even as a married couple, no kids, we would sit down, no TV, and eat at least 3 to 4 times a week. But now I'm serving 3 different people. There is, of course, 1 positive case, 1 with symptoms, and 1 like sort of symptomatic. So we just sent like half the family into their own rooms. And so then I'm plating up food and then walking in and setting it at the end of their bed and then like backing up to 3 different rooms. And then the other 2 and I are like, well, we'll just kind of eat standing up in the kitchen. Like, it's just a different.
Life looks so different. Yeah.
Yeah, it just looks different. Like, oh, I miss that. I feel so disconnected by this isolation. And so that's what I mean about pulling into sharp contrast. Like, oh, yes, that was important to me. And that will continue to be important to me. It's like you don't realize how important things are until they're taken away sometimes. You're like, oh, yes, let's keep on that trail when we're all healthy again. Because that really, I really did miss that.
So. Yeah, I think it's been similar for me of like, I know it's important, and this has just been, I don't know, it's like the brevity of life is so much more apparent, right? When like the entire world is going through a pandemic and like people are getting very sick, and okay, like what do I want my life to be about? Is it just like I go to work and go home and do fun things on the weekend, or is it like what is my legacy going to be? And those are the like big picture questions that I feel like have kind of been stirred up for a lot of people. So when it comes to like planning and like setting goals, PowerSheets Goal Planner, it helps you to walk through like what that big picture vision looks like and helps you to create a vision for what this season ahead is going to look like. So even if everything looks entirely different, your plans don't go as planned, you're able to craft a vision of like, how am I going to love my family well during this season? How am I going to lead and like encourage my friends in this season? If that was a lot of it, it's like funny because a lot of my big picture goals for the year are the same still. They just, the action items look different of like what it looks like to actually live those things out in this season.
Say, have you seen the meme that's like, it was me, I'm sorry, I made a 2020 vision board that says I want to stay home, eat more, and like spend time with my family or something. Sorry. It's true. It happened, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is that.
Yeah. But that's what's funny is, even just like on a business, like, seeing the traction behind interest in goals has been fascinating because actually more people are excited about like, how do I actually do the things that I've been putting off for years? Because I've realized what's so important now, which is just funny. And, you know, what I like to say, or what our team likes to say, is goals are not the goal. That's like not what we're trying to teach people how to do, which is funny. They're just how to get there. Like, we're trying to teach people what's most important and to set your eyes on what really is going to last. And goals are just the avenue of how you get to that. So in that sense, I feel like now more than ever, knowing what matters and setting actionable steps to get there is so important.
Right. Like, if you had a goal to buy something, but you just got laid off. Like, some things just are fractured. And to have a grieving process for those things, I think is okay. You know, just to say, oh, this goal is not gonna happen. Like, give yourself like a freedom of that. But how can I redirect some of that same energy into something else? Or just change the timeline on it, frankly. Like, we just gotta push it. I don't want to let this dream die, but it's, you know, it is what it is.
Well, I think grieving it certainly is like part of what a lot of people are going through right now. If you did have a goal to travel, or, and there's this tension of like trusting that like the timing of like when this thing does happen is going to be better. Like, I think about like, I've wanted to start a business for, I feel like I've felt that for several years, and I have been frustrated like in years past because I'm like, oh, I want to do this, but I just don't know how to make it happen, and I don't know what to do, and what is that going to look like? And now I'm like, wow, I'm so grateful that I didn't do that a few years ago, because the timing I can just see is so much better right now. So I feel like there's like a little bit of trust and grief held together in that for me, of how I'm looking at like things that I'm not able to do in this season. And I don't know, look at, sevens are optimists, right? So I'm like, there's gotta be something really good for this. I think about in ceramics, you start with clay before it's fired, and it's so weak, it can be easily broken, and it has to be fired at like over 2000 degrees before, like several times before it's made into something beautiful. So I really think that all of these hard things that we are going through, really as a society and like the entire world, there's going to be beauty that comes out of this. And I think holding that like grief, giving yourself space to grieve, and then also still like holding on to that trust and hope that good things are going to come out of this. And I do believe that really good things are ahead.
That's beautiful. Well, yeah, imagine being that little mud slung cup. It's hot in here, guys. Let's get out of here. It's really getting hotter. Yeah. You know, like, just hang in there. Yeah. Just hang in there. You'll be real shiny pretty soon. Just trust me. You got the glossy, glossy glaze on there. You're going to be so beautiful, so shiny, and all the color. Because really, unless you have done ceramics, when you put the glaze on, you have to look at the, like, a swatch of the, quote unquote, like, color, I guess you would say. Because it only really does turn into its best self when it's fired. So yes, where the mud turns into something hard and useful, glaze is like that too. Like, you might have a tint or something that you can see, but it's really chalk. It's kind of murky.
It's not very pretty. It's like,
it's not very pretty, right?
It's like first date. And so I'm just like, we're all a bunch of mud and pre-fired glaze right now.
Yeah. I mean, so in some ways you kind of have to apply it knowing, like, in your mind there is some unknown, right? I mean, you have your swatches, you may have done some trials or stuff like that, but it's not exactly a paint by number where you see it go on and like, oh yeah, that looks good, I think I'll fire that. It's like there's a little bit of trust in there, a little bit of, okay, I'm doing this and I'm going to put it in and hope for the best. So, well, we're just killing it on these analogies today, Kaylee. All right.
I love it.
I don't like to leave people hanging. And you mentioned a blue pumpkin. So I want to talk about that because just a little bit of gardening. Also, things you can and can't do during this time. Like, how has dating been? Is that something you can talk about? I don't know. Like, I'm so curious about my single friends. I'm like, wow, like, you had a Zoom date? Like, how does that go? And like, was it appropriate? Were they weird? Like, I don't know.
Oh my gosh. I love that you're asking this. Because that was one of my big fears in all of this, like the world shutting down. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I'm for sure going to be single for like at least the next 8 months. And just like thinking about that, I was like, oh, this is like uncomfortable and hard. But it's funny because a lot of my friends have actually like started dating during a lockdown, which is just funny how the Lord works in that way. But for me personally, so my roommate is also single, and we did dating apps for like a little while because we're like, maybe all of the men are now on the dating apps because they're trying to find somebody during this lockdown too. And that was good. It's been fun just like meeting people, and we did like socially distant walks, which was just weird, but fun. Like, I don't know, like this whole
week, I'm like suddenly 12. I'm like,
it's just like, I don't know. This whole year is just like weird. I feel like that's just the word for it. But, yeah, so that, I feel like that's the most exciting part about our like dating story that I have, is that like just me, I'm not really dating anyone seriously right now. So it's been a lot of just like, honestly, like running after these things that I have with the business and work. And I don't know, I just like, I'm praying for some crazy story during this season of God's faithfulness to appear. Because how funny would it be to, you know, meet your husband in a lockdown in a pandemic?
Yeah. Or maybe he's the chemist in Pennsylvania and you just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Sorry if you're listening, chemist. This isn't weird. It's purely professional. I'm just imagining. This. It's painful and beautiful at the same time to see people trying to connect during this time. I mean, I think it depends on what you want out of the experience, because certainly if you're just looking for like a really explicit, some sort of like online fling, like that's going to be easy. That's going to be real easy, you know?
Yeah, you could find that, but I feel like my standards are like, I want committed. Like, we're going to like be intentional about dating. So that's like a lot to ask during this season when a lot of people have unknowns.
You definitely saw the benefit of relying on God's timing for your business opportunities. So I know the same will be true for your romantic life.
You.
Yeah, I know it's... I felt a lot of pressure in college from myself. Like, I didn't feel it from my family, maybe just from some other friends that were getting engaged at the time. But I definitely, I got married when I was 22, 23. I had my first kid at 25, and I had three more by the time I was 30. Like, it just went boom, 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 boom. But I just posted, I reposted something in my Instagram stories this past week. And it was just something I scrolled across. It wasn't someone I followed, but so I can't think of the name. But it was a woman holding one of those letter boards, you know, with the little felt lines and the little white whatever. And she put all these dreams, all these goals that she had by the age that she was. So, like, she said, married by, you know, 27, first kid by 30, own a house by 33, whatever it was. I don't remember the exact dates, but it was this whole list. And then she put her current age and she says, none of that's true and I'm still really happy, you know, or basically encouraging us to be like, we can break out of some of those goals we may have had on like for really no reason other than maybe that's when our sister got married, or maybe that's when everyone else in our company seems to be, we're throwing a bridal shower in the lunchroom, having a cake every other day, but it's never for me, you know, like that kind of thing. So we kind of get these numbers pushed on us a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it was so freeing. I just had to repost it because I know some, because my numbers are more similar to that, right? It's like boom, 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 boom. And that's the way it went. But there's two sides to every story. Like, I remember sitting, you know, with cracked nipples trying to breastfeed, and my friends are going off to Colorado for the weekend. Like, have fun, guys. Like, you know, yeah. I mean, it's really, I mean, and now that my oldest is 15 and, you know, they're having more preschoolers and early elementary, like, I can kind of do that now. So it's a little bit of just flip-flopping, but it's definitely someone else's standard doesn't have to be ours.
Right.
And there's definitely two sides to either way, how your life goes.
Well, there's, I am a firm believer that there is purpose in every season. And so I think about right now, I'm like, I feel so excited about what is happening, like business wise and like taking this huge leap of faith, that it's almost like, okay, like I totally don't even care that I'm like, do I think about it? Yes. That I'm single and like, I would like to be dating. And, but there were seasons, you know, like a year ago, 2 years ago, when I was like, I really just want to be married. And now I'm like, thank goodness I wasn't, because I don't know if I would have taken the bet on myself and like gone through this process of like learning how to do all of these things myself if I had like somebody else to lean on. And so I feel like if you're single and you're listening to this, like, and you're like, oh, I really want to be married, like perhaps there is like more developing and like more like learning about yourself that is happening so that you can be a better spouse to your future significant other. And that's kind of the way I look at it, of like, I really want to be like fully running in my lane before I bring someone else on to be running alongside me. And that really is like kind of a new perspective that I've had, because I think it's just like when you're really running after what matters most, it's like, I don't know. I'm so confident in that I don't need someone else right now. Do I want that? Sure. But I think it's like, it's definitely in the past been so much more of an idol of like, I really want to get married. I really want to get married. Like, that's like so much more fun. And now it's just like a little bit different. I'm like, okay, I will be a better wife if I am like fully like learning all these things about myself so that I can better, I don't know, just like show up fully and not put all of this weight on like someone else to provide me the satisfaction and contentment. And yeah, so that is kind of just like the way I'm looking at it right now in this season.
I like how you have really matured during this season. I mean, I didn't know you before, but like that's a mature line of thinking. And not to say that you don't have bad days or moments of longing. I mean, goodness sakes, look at you helped all these brides look for their gowns. And towards the middle, the end of college, like there's a lot of like, where's my life going to go? What's next? And marriage really does seem like kind of a hot ticket item.
Yeah.
And for you to have worked through that and to understand what that meant to you then and how it means to you now. I was going to say, when you said marriage looks so much more fun, I was like, do you mean? I'm sorry. Do you mean work? Do you mean work? Because I think you said work. Marriage is a lot more work.
Yeah.
It is. I will say I'm a big proponent. I've had my ups and downs. I have times where I wanted to hide, leave, just change my life altogether. But sticking it through, I've been married now 18 years and I'm married to a God-honoring man who is my complete opposite. And we frustrate and complement each other in the best and worst ways. And life just isn't the same. Would never be the same without him. He's just extraordinary and pushes me in ways that I would have never sought to push myself. So you can definitely grow still when you're married. I don't think you need to have your whole self figured out because you're not done. God's not done with you, even on your deathbed. Like, you are constantly growing and evolving and recommitting yourself to contentment because there's always something else to chase. Maybe a new position, a new amount of kids you want to have, a new place you want to travel. Like, it's just, there's a lot this world can make our head flip left and right.
Yeah.
But like you said, if you have some of those core values down in yourself, that's great.
Right. And so aside from like all these fun things that are happening in my life, it's the truth for me, it would be that I'm learning how to find my contentment in the Lord. And so creating a firm foundation for that relationship between me and the Lord before I get married is so important to me. And that is like really what this leap of faith, that's the fruit that's coming from it, right? Is I'm having to trust in like not myself, but in God. To lead me, which has been really the like best fruit I could harvest from all of this.
Absolutely. Because marriage, guess what? He could be so, well, I don't know what your ideals are with the attributes, but like tall, rich, handsome, godly, whatever. And he is also human and could contract ALS. And you are still committed and loving to someone as their body breaks down, but their mind is still inside them. Like, that's a big jump. And I'm not taking that lightly and flippantly, but like, we just don't know what that commitment entails. Like, you could hold, I will be happy when, but then all of a sudden you get that. And then what's the next thing? They get laid off or, you know, stumble with an addiction and you are continuing to be faithful and helping that individual and working at it. And so, you know, the reality is even just that milestone, getting that milestone is, you can't just check it off. Like, okay, I'm married. Check. And I'm afraid that many people do. And you're like, no, this wasn't about your wedding day. This was about starting a marriage and what that entails. So anyways, thank you for opening up about all these things. I think it's so important to share different perspectives. Like I said, married 18 years, I can only share what life is like for me. And that's limited. That's a limited lane. And I really do enjoy hearing behind just the smiley pictures on Instagram and someone's fancy title. You know what I mean? And just like, what is life really looking like on the ground?
Yeah, I'm so grateful for that.
I do want to leave the audience with something because I don't like to leave them hanging. tell me a little bit about your garden with kale and blue pumpkins, because how fun. And where, like, tell me your environment. Are you kind of trying to, do you have a yard? Is this like a community place? And why are you so doubting that your pumpkin will be blue or not? That's what inquiring minds want to know.
Great question. So gardening is very fresh and new to me. I built a raised bed out of lots of wood that I carried home from Home Depot through my sunroof because my car is not that large.
Kaylee, awesome.
This That's was awesome. Like, I know, like, I should go get the security camera footage from Home Depot because it was a hot mess, but I was determined. So I built this thing and it's on, I have a back deck, and really that's the only place that gets full sun. So it's 8 feet long, 2 feet wide, and I really started growing everything from seed in March when quarantine started happening, and that was kind of my, like, saving grace during this whole thing. So things grew over the summer, and I have a pumpkin plant that has no pumpkins yet. So that's why I'm like, I'm not really sure if anything will grow. It turns out, a little bit of biology lesson, you need male flowers and female flowers, and there's pollination that happens. Oh. And so far I only have male flowers, but apparently there's like a 30-to-2 ratio of male flowers. So stay tuned. Obviously pumpkins grow in the fall, and we'll see if we'll get one. It may be really small, but I'm excited. That's been, I think, the fun of gardening is, like, you don't really know what's going to happen, and it's crazy to grow. I mean, just like our goals, you plant something in faith and good things grow, and you have to be patient, and it's kind of a surprise and fun process. So, I will be sure to let y'all know, though, if there is a pumpkin that grows this fall.
I've actually referenced the whole cultivate what matters kind of analogy several times. Longtime listeners will recognize this. I'm a novice gardener. I have a raised bed, and I'm just like, throw a tomato plant in there. Good luck. I love you. Bye. You know, when it gets hot out, I probably ignore you. That kind of thing. But one day I found myself weeding out there, as one does when they care for their plants. And it got to the idea of cultivation. And of course, cultivate what matters is a huge threat in the planter community. And I was thinking about not just tending to what we put in our gardens, but what we take out. And that really resonated with me as I was yanking these weeds, because I'm like, this stuff doesn't matter. I need to take this stuff out. And by doing that and taking that out, I was like, oh, now this gives all the plants the sun it needs, the nutrients it needs. It's not fighting for water from these other weeds, I guess. And it made me really think about my life and think, like, what is in my life now that I could pluck that is really sucking some energy and resources and, you know, time from the things that really matter. So
that's so good. And you think about weeds and they're like, oh, those are bad things. So, like, you just get rid of, say yes to the good things and say no to the bad things. You know, if you're thinking about an analogy of like, oh, I spend too much time on social media. Okay, that's an easy thing to, like, identify of, like, oh, I could do less of that. But sometimes it's also like, I'm growing, I have some carrot seeds, and once they come up, like, you plant several in a row and you end up having to, what's called thinning, you remove some of them. So even that is like, you're removing some good things. Like, this is, could be a carrot and could be really great, but I have to remove it to give space for it to grow. And so that's one of the beautiful things about cultivating what matters, is sometimes you're saying no to really good things to say yes to even better things down the road. So
it's true. And I always feel bad thinning carrots, because I'm like, so then I'll try to, like, shove it somewhere else in the empty dirt. Or this year I just didn't thin at all. So we're going to have some leggy carrots, you know, they're all, like, combined. They don't get as big and tasty as they would if you don't thin, but then they grow together. And so it looks like, then you get the funny pictures that looks like male anatomy. There's like two legs and a little extra carrot hanging down. So we might be having some fun carrot adventures this fall, because
that's funny.
Too weak to thin the herd. Oh, Kaylee, it's been a delight to have you on the show. Thank you for being spontaneous, and I really look forward to having you back in October for the Enneagram Planner Mashup for the series. Or not for the series, for the sevens. So thank you for coming today.
Thank you so much, Jessica. Yes, I cannot wait. I cannot say this enough, but Enneagram sevens are spontaneous and fun, and this has just been such a joy. And yeah, I've loved it. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, bye. Thank you for listening to another episode of Planner Lifestyle Podcast. This was a fun pop-up episode with Kaylee, but starting on Friday, I will have a regular schedule the next 9 weeks. I'm so excited, and so are you. I've been told many times that you're looking forward to hearing these episodes that combine the Enneagram tool with people from the planner community, and I'll be featuring two people of each number each week. So come back just in 2 days on Friday for the Enneagram ones. And I'm also featuring Chris Adams, and she is our resident Enneagram enthusiast and will be joining me on Planner Lifestyle Podcast for an intro of each number over the next 9 weeks. During the Enneagram 1 episode, she'll give a little bit more background on what the Enneagram is, if this is a new concept for you, so make sure to check that one out for some background information, and we'll see you on Friday.